evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, August 26, 2021. Truck drivers from East Africa protest against insecurity in South Sudan.
Drivers have decided to park their vehicle until their security is guaranteed.
And some South Sudanese abductors are demanding ransom for traders under their custody.
They took 3.5 million and $1,300. They took from their hand. We is the date on 23 August 2021. That was the date the incident happened.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir met with the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed in Addis Ababa today during a one-day visit. The spokesperson in the office of the Ethiopian Prime Minister, Belin Seyoum, says the two leaders discussed important bilateral issues connecting the two countries.
The focus of the visit was to discuss key bilateral and regional issues of mutual concern. And of particular interest was a focus on strengthening economic ties and joint infrastructure development to further facilitate these economic ties. Prime Minister Abiy briefed President Salva Kiir and the delegation on current issues in the country, including the positive economic performance of key sectors, despite the many challenges that Ethiopia has been faced with, including COVID-19. He also shared examples of the enhanced democratic practices that have been experienced and that are being experienced by the country, and also the performance with regards to good export performances. And President Salva Kiir, on his part, congratulated the Prime Minister and the government for the peaceful conclusion of the sixth national elections. He also commended the successful second filling of the GERD and reaffirmed that South Sudan continues to attach great importance to the relations with Ethiopia. He condemned the attack of the Northern Command by the TPLF, which initiated an armed conflict, and also appreciated the government's efforts to safeguard the constitutional order, highlighting the importance of non-interference by external parties in Ethiopia's current domestic challenges.
That's Belin Seyoum, the spokesperson in the office of the Ethiopian Prime Minister. She was addressing the press in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, this evening. East Africa truckers have suspended transportation of cargo to South Sudan following the killings of two Kenyan drivers and the disappearance of others over the weekend. The drivers have for several years been targets of attacks by armed people along the Juba-Nimule Road. As Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala, the truck drivers are seeking assurances of their safety before resuming work.
Just about 4 months after the last sit-down strike by long-distance truckers at the Elegu border post along the Uganda-South Sudan border, the drivers are back at it again. They are protesting the deaths of two Kenyan drivers, Harun Abdullahi and Issa Salad, who were killed Sunday along the Juba-Nimule Road as they transported merchandise to South Sudan. The drivers also told VOA that the slain truckers were among 46 destined for South Sudan, adding that the whereabouts of another 15 in the group are still unknown. About 300 trucks are currently parked at Elegu as the drivers demand the bodies and trucks of the deceased drivers, as well as information on the whereabouts of the missing. Before ending a similar 10-day protest early this year, the truckers were promised security along the route. Sudi Mwatela Kauli is the chairperson of the Long Distance Truck Drivers Association. He told the media at Elegu that the truckers are disappointed over failure by South Sudan authorities to fulfill their promise.
Drivers have decided to park their vehicle until their security is guaranteed. Because this one is not first time. We were here on April 9th because of the same issue. We agreed that they were going to issue with escort, but they did not provide. They tried to put the escort with the patrols, but after 1 week, they packed the land cruisers and relaxed.
This is the fourth time within 5 weeks that truckers have come under fire along the same route. The latest was in July, when two Ugandan truckers were injured by men in South Sudan military uniforms. David Ongomudong is a spokesperson for Uganda's Aswa River Regional Police. In an interview with VOA, Modongo urged traders and truckers to exercise caution while plying the South Sudan routes.
So as the police, we would wish to inform the general public, especially Ugandan citizens, that South Sudan is still not safe for drivers and other travelers. Ugandans therefore need to be extra vigilant about the current insecurity situation in South Sudan, especially along the routes.
Armed violence against truckers has increased along the Juba-Nimule route since 2016. With South Sudan being a landlocked country, the continued attacks are feared to threaten business in Africa's youngest nation and the East Africa regional bloc. On average, about 120 trucks cross the illegal border for South Sudan daily. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Still on security matters, authorities in Unity State say an identified armed man who abducted 15 traders traveling by River Barge to Juba early this week are demanding a ransom of more than 10 million South Sudanese pounds. The former commissioner of Panyajir County says the abductors have collected more than 3 million South Sudanese pounds but are still demanding for the balance of 7 million pounds, which is equivalent to $16,000. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Yohannes Kujek, the former commissioner of Unity State's Panyajar County, says the 15 traders were traveling by road baggage from Panyajar to Juba. Kujek says the traders were abducted at the Machar checkpoint along the riverside in Jungle State. He says the abductors took all the cash the traders were carrying, totaling more than 3 million pounds, but are still demanding a ransom of 7 million pounds, which is equivalent to $16,000.
They took 3.5 million and $1,300. They took from their hand. We is the date on 23 August 2021. That was the date the incident happened. And then when we tried to follow up and establish the communication, we found them, they were moved from Machar to Shambek, which is in the Lake State side, Nyang County. Those are where they hear the traders.
Kujek says because Unity State borders Lake and Jungle States, he suspects the abductors may have come from one of the neighboring communities.
They are armed youths. They are not the normal civilian because when you look into that place called Machar, it has his own administration, it has his own security. I don't know how they make it to allow those criminal youths to adopt those people or to detain them. Because if they establish it, a checkpoint for them.
Kujek is urging authorities in Unity, Lakes and Jungle States, where the abductors could be hiding with the detained traders, to investigate and rescue the traders and apprehend the criminals. Major Elia Mabor Makoj, the Lakes State Police spokesperson, says police in his state have not received any information about the abduction of the 15 traders.
We have three borders with the Unity State. We have Mayandit, we have Pinijar, and these two counties are bordering Rumbek North, Rumbek Center, and Yerul East. But there's no any report from all these three counties about the people being abducted. You shall keep monitoring, because now it's still very early also. If there is a such information and is still delaying somewhere, maybe later on, I will find out whether there is a such information from anywhere among these three counties.
Jungle State Information Minister Veronica William Deng says she heard about the incident but has yet to receive details as to whom could have abducted the traders or where they are being held. Deng says she will coordinate with security organizations in the state to gather more information about the abduction. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Jongle, where authorities in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area and Jongle State exchanged abductees who went missing in the two states for years, including one child and two women. One of the women who was rescued says authorities in the two states should do more to rescue her children and other abductees still missing. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
35-year-old Rebecca Yom, who was abducted from Jonglei State, Duke County, 4 years ago, along with her four children, says she is glad to be back in her village.
One. I don't room one. I am happy to be back home after staying for a long time. When I was abducted, the abductors took me to Gumuruk with my children. The children were later taken to different places, and I was left with the man who abducted me. I became his wife, and we had a baby girl.
Yom says a one-year-old daughter was forcefully taken from her at the airstrip by a group of angry young people as she was boarding a plane to Bor. Yom is urging the governments of Greater Pibora Demonstrative Area and Jonglei State to work together to return all abductees, including our own children, to their homes.
I want the government to work hard so that the people who are abducted are returned like I am now back home. I also need my children to be returned. I know they are alive because they were sold to another man. If the government wants to fully help me, let them bring my children because now I am back and my children are not with me. That can cause my psychological problems when I think about them.
Ding Akol, the Jonglei State Legal Affairs Advisor and the head of the committee to return the abductees, says Jonglei State officials appreciate the move by the Greater Pibora Administrative Area authorities to return the former abductees.
We are confident that we'll succeed in bringing peace to the areas or to the Greater Bor or Greater Jonglei. We have received the three children that we have come and the three abductees that has come, Rebecca, Yom, plus the other two children. The original plan was to bring seven, but because of misunderstanding that has happened in Fajut, where on Thursday, that was on the 19th, two women were killed and one woman was injured and one man was injured. So that thing brought in motion in Pajut. And people were saying, why are we making peace with the people that administrative area? And they are killing our people.
Akol says Jonglei officials returned two women and one child to Pibor. He says seven former abductees were to be returned by Jonglei state officials and Greater Pibor officials, but that number was reduced to three from each side due to the level of mistrust.
They don't trust what we are doing here. So to build that trust is not an easy thing. But they have sent many, around 18. And 18 children and women, they were sent by Greater Pibor to Greater Bor. But Greater Bor has not responded. So the ball in the court of the Greater Bor, because it is, if they see them, because there are many children there from Greater Bor, but we have to collect from here and take to them. They will bring more.
Lokali Ameya, the chief administrator for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, confirms that he received three former abductees from Jonglei State on Monday. Ameya says the rest of the abductees who are rescued from Pibor will be handed over to Jonglei State officials when state authorities returned Pibor abductees.
My first priority was thought that let us focus on child abduction and cattle raiding. That was the final problem in Jonglei State and Greater Pibor. From beginning, I worked out on this. That were all rallies. I went to any county. I talk about this to stop child abduction and cattle raiding. And the child who does not belong to people from Greater Pibor, we have to take it back. Really, biology family. We have to take it back to his own family. And that's my mission. That's what I did. And like now, we send these children.
In January this year, the Lawnware and Dinka Bor communities of Jonglei and the Murle community of Greater Pibor Administrative Area held a peace conference in Juba where all parties agreed to bury their differences and embrace peace. At the end of the conference, leaders from the three communities signed a document stating that all abductees shall be returned and the perpetrators would be punished. It also said compensation shall be paid to the families of those killed or injured during attacks and revenge attacks during cattle raids. Since January, no compensations have been made. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok says Sudan will never be the same. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. question today.
What is your golden rule in life?
My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. As you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Partners in South Sudan's transitional government of national unity say dispute over the number of forces each side should contribute to the country's unified forces is delaying the process for graduating the unified group as required by the 2018 peace agreement. A spokesperson at the South Sudan Ministry of Defense says the dispute has been referred to the presidency for a settlement. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Government spokesperson Michael Makwe says the unification of the forces by the peace deal is progressing well, but he says certain parties to the agreement have yet to organize their forces with clear ranks.
These people are already trained and they are just waiting for graduation. So we are not doing anything any longer. All that we are doing is that we are waiting for the reorganization of these forces, so that when the unified forces are graduated, they are graduated with a clear command, not with a surplus of officers who cannot do anything, because officers are meant to command the forces. And if they have no forces to command, then why do we graduate them with their ranks?
Makwe says the leadership of every party with soldiers should organize their forces based on the number of soldiers they have, so that they can determine the ranks that will command the forces. Lampo Gabriel, spokesperson for SPLA in opposition, denies SPLA IO forces are disorganized or that they have too many commissioned officers. He says the IO has approximately 20 officers in the unified force, with only two lieutenant generals in the highest command. He says the remaining officers are non-commissioned officers. Gabriel acknowledges the training of the forces has been completed and that the soldiers are only waiting for graduation, but he says the delay is in the rushes of forces from the different parties. He says when the SPLA-IO signed the agreement and returned to Juba in 2018, the principals to the agreement held a meeting in 2019 when they agreed to a combined total of 83,000 forces.
It was agreed that the component of these forces that are coming during the first phase should be 50-50 from the opposition and 50 from the government, from the SSPDF or the IG forces. Now, this is the ratio currently that is causing us challenges, because our counterpart doesn't want it that way, because they are the sitting government, according to them. So they want to have a bigger share. So that can be discussed for the sake of peace. It can be discussed, but not something really that is going to remove us from having influence in the command. Otherwise, there will be no reforms in the army.
Gabriel says supporting the status quo is dragging the country back to its knees. He says the SPLA-IO supports proper representation in the command of the unified forces to ensure that the country is properly raised back to its level of nationalism. When asked if the leaders agreed on the number of forces and on a time frame for when the soldiers will be graduated, Gabriel, who also works in the press department of the Joint Defense Board, said President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar and Vice President Hossein Abdel Badji are still in talks over the matter.
At the moment, it's at the level of the presidency. They're still discussing. I believe when they agree, then we'll also come and inform the media about it. But we are hopeful that they will put their differences aside and look at the importance of this country.
Brigadier General Wich Jang Duop, military spokesperson for South Sudan Opposition Alliance, says forces at the training centers are all organized and unified, ready for graduation, but he says a dispute remains over the percentage of forces each party shall submit.
The percentage is still to be agreed. We know that in the agreement we have been 18.75%. That way, when you run it, it'd be 19%. We are sure. and IO will be 32.25. But this percentage now, they are still to agree on it, because we opposition, we should have a 50% in the unified forces, but the presidency are still to agree.
According to the revitalized peace agreement, the completion of training and redeployment of the unified forces was to take 8 months, beginning in September 2018. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok says the transitional government in Sudan will implement required programs during the transitional period, including building a democratic Sudan. Hamdok recently presented an initiative to the political groups in the country after identifying 7 major challenges in Sudan. Hamdok called for unity to address what he described as comprehensive national crisis. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum.
Prime Minister Hamdok's initiative entitled The National Crisis and Issues of Transition, The Way Forward, identifies 7 challenges, he says, must be addressed if the Juba peace deal's 39-month transitional period is to succeed. The agreement includes reforming the security sector and unifying the army, implementing the transitional justice and addressing the economic challenges. Prime Minister Hamdok also wants to completely dismantle the remnants of the previous administration led by Omar al-Bashir. Hamdok appointed more than 70 officials to a body tasked with implementing the initiative. Addressing officials in Khartoum on Wednesday, the Prime Minister reiterated the commitment of the government to fully implement the transitional programs.
This is a temporary mechanism to address a specific responsibility within the period of 2 months, aimed at agreeing on issues that we have presented. Therefore, the initiative is neither a new political coalition nor does it represent a particular party, and it does not replace the Legislative Council or the Forces of Freedom and Change. This mechanism doesn't offer employment nor does it achieve any personal interest of any member.
Hamdok says the mechanism includes people from all walks of life in Sudan who are keen on implementing the objectives of the revolution.
We targeted individuals who have influence in their communities and who shall represent the grassroots, who are yearning for better change in Sudan and ready to transit to democracy and the civil state. It is in the interest of the forces of revolution and change that all influential community personalities are part of this journey.
Members of the mechanism are expected to carry out public rallies, grassroots consultations, and launch a media campaigns to engage the public about their work. Hamdok assured citizens that the new group will also work to dismantle the roots of the previous administration and reclaim all public funds that he says will be used to build a new Sudan.
We are hereby renewing our commitment to our martyrs, our people, and to our country that we will not retreat or bow our heads down at the expense of the objectives of the revolution. We will not allow the previous system of government to exist again or reconcile with it. We will not retreat from pursuing a democratic civilian state.
Speaking to this program, the leader of the Umma Party Reform Wing, Mubarak Al-Fadil, downplayed Hamdok's initiative, saying it does not offer anything new. Al-Fadil says what is needed now is to focus on the 39 months in the transitional period and prepare the nation for a national election.
I don't think what the Prime Minister has been saying in his initiative could really be resolved by the same people who have actually been responsible for what has happened. So I think his initiative cannot be successful unless he focus on the real need for overcoming the difficulties of the transition and handing over power to the people.
Al-Fadil says Hamdok should focus on organizing a united forum for all political forces and reach an agreement on a plan that would lead the country to a peaceful and credible election. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus discouraged the administration of COVID-19 booster shots on Wednesday, saying that more is needed to be known about how they interact with the body to determine if they are safe. The U.S. pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson announced Wednesday that clinical trials it has conducted show a second shot of the company's COVID-19 vaccine produced an antibody response 9 times higher than the original single dose.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read your brief written comments or play back your recorded comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Aisha by Khalid.
Come see, je n'existe pas. Elle est passée à côté de moi. Sans un regard, reine de Saba. J'ai dit Aïcha, prends tout est pour toi. Voici les perles, les bijoux. Aussi au retour de ton cou, les fruits bien mûrs au goût de miel. Ma vie, Aïcha, si tu m'aimes, j'irai où ton souffle nous mène. Aïcha, regarde-moi, oh, oh. Aïcha, Aïcha, réponds-moi. Je dirai les mots, les poèmes. Je jouerai les musiques du ciel. Je prendrai les rayons du soleil pour éclairer tes yeux.
We have been listening to Khalid with the song Aisha. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
نبغيك عايشة ونموت عليك. هادي سيد حياتي وحبي. انتي